This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Good morning to you. Welcome back to the Mark Cox Morning Show. This 27th day of March. It is, of course, opening day. We've been watching the weather. We've been talking about a little bit of baseball this morning. Looks like most of the rain will be traveled to the north by game time this afternoon. So I think most people planning to attend will be in pretty good shape. We'll keep you updated on that and any traffic problems going on from Sue Thomas here shortly. But first, I want to talk about a headline that, of course, was in the local media yesterday and eye-catching because they want to accuse people of banning books and stuff all the time. So this one focused on the Wentzville School Board and a vote to remove a book, except this is how they've termed it, because, of course, if a book wins an award, it's automatically okay. Doesn't matter what the content is. The headline in the Post, Wentzville Board votes to remove award-winning novel on child sex trafficking from schools. How dare we would keep this from our children? But I'm sure there's a reason. We've got Jen Olson with us right now, a member of the Wentzville School Board, and giving us a few minutes this morning. Jen, thank you.
Good morning, Mark. Thank you for having me on.
Absolutely. So the book in question here is a novel named Sold, written by Patricia McCormick, and it talks about a Nepali girl who was sold into sexual slavery. Kind of set this up for us. Why was the board reviewing this and several other books?
Okay, so a community member has challenged a few books, and when that happens, we have a board policy that, we have to put a review committee together and several people read the book. And typically it's a librarian, some teachers, some staff, a community member, all on the committee. And they read the book and then they come back and reconvene the meeting. And then they make a recommendation to the board as to whether or not they think we should keep the book. This specific book, Sold, I was on that committee. And it was 50-50 as to whether or not we retain it with restrictions. Three of the people believed that it should be retained at the high school level, but not for middle or elementary school. And the other half believed that we should just retain it altogether and keep it wherever it's at. I was a vote to remove the book. I believe that this book, while it is an amazing book, I've read it twice, it's not age appropriate. And it covers things that, public schools are for everybody. So when we're considering the material that we supply to minor children, we need to consider that, half of society thinks this is not okay, and the other half doesn't. Either they're not paying attention or they don't care. And yeah. we have laws on the books federally and statewide that, they go into what is inappropriate to expose children to. And just because there's no pictures, the words can sometimes be more explicit than a picture.
Mm-hmm. I was reading the Post-Dispatch article and it says, this is ridiculous that they're trying to get this removed or did remove it now, because it's not like it's being forced on these kids to read as part of required curriculum. What do you say to those people who might try to make that argument?
The ALA, actually, the American Library Association, which I don't agree with most of the time, they actually recommend that public school libraries, when considering books for their collection of materials, to consider whether or not it supports the curriculum. And this book in no way would support curriculum. I mean, we don't have a unit on sexually explicit stuff that we you know, that's on the books for the kids to learn, like in the classroom. So, sure. Could a parent choose to give this to their child? Yes. But the public school, the government should not be doing that. It's not age appropriate.
So, you know, I just want to say that I think you're absolutely right. It is completely appropriate in a school setting, whether it's high school or middle school, certainly, that we have things that are age appropriate for our kids to be introduced to. And if they're not, then let the parent buy the book separately and provide it for their child. Our school boards and libraries don't need to be doing that. But I was reading a review of this book. CommonSenseMedia.org is the website. And they gave it 4 out of 5 stars for violence and scariness in terms of how they report the rape of this little girl the first time she's raped, and then the other multiple rapes that are described in detail, and that the girl, a girl commits suicide in the book, and it shows women not only being physically but mentally abused, and many times women being forced to have sex in the same room as their sleeping children. You just reading the description of it there, and the fact that they gave it 4 out of 5 stars for violence and scariness, and the sexual content, that alone should make the argument.
One would think, Mark, but, and actually CommonSenseMedia.org is one of the outlets that we use to vet our software programs or programs that we have for kids in the learning environment and that sort of thing. So you'd think that we would want to take their advice on books as well.
Well, one would think, but of course, here we go again. So what happens now? So there were 4 books that were being considered. Am I correct if I read that Sold was the only one that was decided to keep out of the school library? Is that correct?
That is correct. The other ones were The Kite Runner, November 9, and The Carnival at Bray, all of which, in my opinion, are... they're fictional. However, they go into more explicit detail and details about children, underage children, performing sex acts on each other. One of them is about the rape of a boy by his peers and his peers watching. The others are, you know, I would describe them as softcore porn, to be honest.
Well, I read, too, in the Post-Dispatch article, PEN America, whatever that is, listed this book Sold. It says as the most banned book in America for the 2023-2024 school year. And I guess they're saying that 85 school districts across the country reportedly pulled it from the shelves. So it's not like you're the only district that has concerns about the content of this book.
Right. For me, it's insanity. And the way that they're getting away with this, again, is they rate these books as young adult. And when the normal average person in society thinks about a young adult, they're thinking like 18 to 26 or something, you know, right when you get to the point where you can rent a car. That's a young adult for me. But for the education system, it's 12 to 18.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if the protagonists in the book are kids, then it's young adult. Because that's the target audience. Well, I would protest this till my dying day that children, regardless of whether or not they're the main character being raped, abused, or involved in sexually explicit acts, is not age appropriate for the government to supply to minor children.
It is a fantastic point. Jen Olson of the Wentzville School Board, it just drives home how important these upcoming school board elections are. And Danielle Looney and Christina McCormick are the 2 candidates that I'm supporting in that race. Jen, thank you very much for your time.
Hey, no problem, Mark. And I just want to say for the listeners, if you want to look into Danielle and Christina, you can find them on Facebook at McCormick, spelled with a C, not a CK, the number 4 WSD. And at Looney, the number 4 WSD.
Very good. Jen, thank you.
Thank you, Mark.
Yep,
thanks,
we'll talk.
Jim.
We'll talk soon. Thank you very much. Yeah, get out there. I'm going to have my voter guide out hopefully by tomorrow, and it's going to run down several of these local school boards. But again, this issue just drives home the importance of having people with common sense on the school board so they can step in when you've got crazy people that want to expose our kids to some of this content, for sure. All right, coming up, we're going to get to Shannon Bream, host of Fox News Sunday. We'll talk more about the recent Supreme Court decisions that did not go Donald Trump's way. We'll be right back.
Another day has passed.
Actually, it was the night before the hearing.
Now that another day has passed, do you believe that it's now time potentially for the FBI to open an investigation into this?
I'm not going to comment on that.
Because you're the director of the FBI, you don't believe it's appropriate to comment on that?
Because there's a process in place, there's an ongoing litigation, and the National Security Council is reviewing this matter. And I'm not going to discuss any open or closed investigation.
That ongoing investigation, literally, the lawsuit happened today or yesterday afternoon. And the idea that you don't have an opinion on this at this point is frustrating to me.
No, it's not. I'm not going to prejudge any matters, and the men and women of the FBI will call the balls and strikes.
Reclaiming my time, sir.
Not you.
Sir, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to have... The
gentleman's recognized. You have 4 seconds remaining.
No, I have more than that.
2 seconds remaining.
Because Mr. Patel would not add
time. Gentleman's time has expired.
Cash Patel there shutting down the whiny Democrat that wanted to demand to know if he was ordering an immediate FBI investigation into Signal. I mean, I had somebody text me this morning who happens to be in law enforcement here in the greater St. Louis area who's like, we've been using Signal for years. We used it during the last Trump administration. We used it all during Biden. It's a very common communication source. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was a little surprised to hear this morning, I think it was Jim Talent telling us that the government doesn't really have its own secure texting service.
That is very surprising. It seems like that should be something that's put in place.
It does. So it almost seems like they've had to go out and find the most secure system they can use commercially. Mm-hmm. That it and there are plenty of them. It's not like Confide. Remember Confide?
No.
Confide is what they used during the Greitens administration, and they were accused of violating state sunshine law because with Confide, if I send you a message, you have to download the app, right? Mm-hmm. I send you a message. You're a verified user. When you get my message, you read it, and it's like Mission Impossible. As soon as it's read, you see it crumble. It just disappears and falls off the page. Like, it seems to me like they were able to go back and find some of those messages, but they were worried that people could have discussions or quorums that they weren't supposed to have, and therefore an email system like that might violate the sunshine law. They sued over that, and I think an appeals court decided that it was not a violation. But ultimately, the point here is that Signal is not Confide. It's not the same thing.
I've used Signal.
You have to download the app or the application or whatever it happens to be, and then
all my conversations, past conversations on Signal are still there.
Yeah, they're still there.
The app.
So it's not like you're using it to hide anything at all. Really isn't. Carl, let's hit it, please.
There's only one Shannon.
Shannon Bream, host of Fox News Sunday. Great to have Shannon back on the air with us. We were just discussing Signal and maybe what the other options are if government officials aren't supposed to use that. Shannon, what do you think?
Yeah, and you know that we have all around Washington these SCIFs, or these sensitive areas where there are rooms where you go in. A lot of times you have to leave your cell phone, leave everything behind. But when you're doing something in real time and you do have people all over different parts of the world, it's tough to get a SCIF done. But yeah, my husband keeps saying to me, like, isn't there a government version of Signal? Isn't there something that government devices have their own encrypted, you know, organization that they can use? I don't know. We would think that there was, but maybe this reveals that doesn't actually exist as we imagine it would.
You know, I'm not quite sure who you're going to have on to talk about this weekend, but the Democrat argument seems to be this is the biggest foreign policy debacle in a century or something crazy like that. But bottom line is it shouldn't have happened. He shouldn't have been included in the text message. There was no harm, no foul. The thing was pulled off and there was no leak or anything like that, no damage. The point is to make sure it doesn't happen again going forward, right?
Yeah, and there are discussions about, is the president, is the SecDef, or others open to some kind of investigation? And there's been a bipartisan call from a couple of members in the Senate to say, let's have an inspector general look at this for those reasons. Let's get a full accounting of what happened And let's make sure that it doesn't happen again. So it seems that there is some openness within different parts of the administration to potentially have that conversation. But there's another part of them that I think wants to just let it run the news cycle and go away, to say, all right, we're done with this. We're now on to tariffs. We're now on to this huge bust of this MS-13 gang member this morning here in Northern Virginia. We've got other big things happening. They're very much about wanting to move on, turn the page, go to the next story. And there are some other big things coming. But for Democrats, this is a win for them. They have very little they can do. They don't have the numbers in Congress. They're flooding the court system. But for them, they're going to spend as much time on this as possible because it's the first kind of breakthrough that they've had where they feel like they're landing some punches on this new administration.
Well, yeah, there's not been a lot else for them to work on, mm-hmm. for sure. Do you have guests lined up for this weekend?
We don't yet. We hope to have that by the end of the day today. Locked in. As you would imagine, it's going to be all about this, I think, but other big things. Like, we're hoping to talk to Secretary Bessent about the tariffs that are kicking in next week. There's a lot of doom and gloom and prediction about that. So we want to talk about what the impact's really going to be on the U.S. economy and everyday Americans who are trying to buy groceries and eggs and put gas in the car.
Yeah, maybe Jasmine Crockett's available for you, Shannon.
You know what? I am actually filling in for my buddy Harris Faulkner on her 11 a.m. Eastern show today, and we've got a lot of interesting digging about Congresswoman Crockett.
Hey, she's from St. Louis. You know that, right? She went to some big 40 grand a year high school here before she...
That's what I hear.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we've got some things to discuss this morning on the show.
Looking forward to that, Shannon. Thank you.
Thanks.
All right. We'll see you Sunday on Fox News Sunday for sure. And we air it here at 4 o'clock in the afternoon on Sundays on 97.1. And you can listen then. How about that? Coming up, Griff Jenkins. Where in the world is Griff Jenkins? He has been busy once again, and I know he's covering some of the many controversies going on in Washington, D.C. right now. We'll get to him right after the break.
Thank you, and welcome to Virginia. What this task force over the course of the last 4 weeks represents is the model of federal resources, stately resources, and local resources coming together in order to eradicate the drug and terrorist networks that exist. And I...
Yeah! In Kyiv, Ukraine, Griff Jenkins, Fox News. Along the southern border, Griff Jenkins, Fox News. At the White House, Griff Jenkins, Fox News. In St. Louis, Griff Jenkins, Fox News.
Tell me where in the world is...
Griff Jenkins! I'll bet he wishes he was here watching baseball today, huh, Griff?
Listen, it's opening day for Pam Bondi and Cash Patel, that's yeah. for sure. Already putting some serious wins on the board, taking down this, you know, this is a allegedly the leader of MS-13 for the East Coast.
Oh,
and
boy.
It's going to be very interesting to see how it plays in the news cycle today, because it's clear the Democrats will all wake up, show up to office, and look to keep hammering away. And apparently now the new thing is to drop F-bombs and curse,
yeah.
But try and lean into getting another day out of Signalgate, as it's called, while the administration is pressing forward. And, you know, look, regardless of where your politics are, presumably, everyone would agree that we should be taking the leader of MS-13 off the streets.
Overwhelmingly, the polls show that Americans support what the president's doing with deportations, particularly when it comes to known criminals and gang members. There's no gray area there. It's overwhelming. And it's, again, one of those 80-20, or in this case, 90-10 arguments where the Democrats are finding themselves on the wrong side.
Yeah, who's in the 20% or 10%?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what just doesn't make any sense on this, and that's why you're seeing so many of these mayors, like Boston's Mayor Michelle Wu, who is talking about, you know, we're still a home for all, and, you know, the streets aren't dangerous. It's like, right, but we just took 200. You just saw that ICE story yesterday, the day before. They took 370 migrants off the street, ICE rounded them up, but among them, more than 200 were fentanyl dealers, child rapists, murderers, gang members. I mean, how do you possibly stand on their side? And what's even more crazy is just to put it in a little bit of the perspective, like this is why the Democrats got shellacked in November. Mm-hmm. And to still be doubling down on it defies logic as far as I can see.
It's quite the image seeing this video Kristi Noem posted on X where she's standing there talking at the prison in El Salvador where a lot of these criminal illegal aliens have been sent. And so she's standing there looking all nice, you know, with her hat on. And then behind her, of course, the bars. And you just see, it looks like 50 inmates just standing there right behind her.
Yeah.
Kind of eerie.
Kim, I'm so glad you brought that up, because in about 30 minutes or so, I'm going to do a hit for the channel, and I'm going to use that video. I covered Secretary Noem yesterday. She's my story again today and presumably tomorrow as she heads to Mexico. And my what I'm going to do at 10:15 is I'm going to show her video standing in front of violent, tattooed gang members issuing a stern warning, saying if you come illegally to the U.S. and you commit crimes, this is where you're going to end up. And by the way, in her message, she added, if you are a criminal alien in the U.S., you should leave now. Otherwise, we're going to round you up and send you here. And I'm going to paint the contrast, the stark contrast to the previous administration when Vice President Harris, the so-called border czar, traveled to Guatemala and simply said, do not come. Do not come.
Don't.
It's a very different approach to deterrence. And I'm going to play her video because it's a quite shocking, message that's being sent, I think, more successfully by Noem than Harris did. Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, and plus, you know, the argument was they're not cooperating, that these countries don't want to cooperate, and here she is standing in a prison, and the picture is shocking because all of the men behind her have no shirts on, and they've all got the tattoos all over
shame
them,
tabs.
Like we've seen with the gang members, the Tren de Aragua gang members. I'm a little surprised that they're not, have their arms out of the bars trying to throw stuff at her and everything.
Maybe that happened before they rolled the video.
Maybe.
Well, I mean, you know, if we're all being honest about this, here is Kristi Noem in a tight-fitting white shirt, yep, looking eloquent and attractive, walking in front of all of these hardened inmates stuck behind bars, jammed in there like sardines, kind of like dangling a steak in front of a starving tiger, I think,
true,
in some respect.
Yeah.
So maybe that was part of it. But, you know, what I love about this is that while we now know that this D.C. Court of Appeals has, you know, upheld Judge Boasberg's restraining order blocking further flights, like the one that put many of those criminals behind those bars, Noem is stepping on the gas, pressing ahead, because after she did that tour, she sat down in a meeting with Salvadoran President Nayib Bukele, who created that prison, and signed a new Security Alliance Memorandum of Cooperation that opens up the open sharing of criminal records of possible inmates so that we don't end up with those individuals in our country and we're not able to verify who the heck they are.
Now, I'm not suggesting here that I think that Holman and Noem would try to do any guardhouse lawyer stuff here, but didn't the ruling from the judge specifically say they had to halt the flights of these illegal criminals out of the United States? What about boats and trains?
Well, listen, that's creative thinking. They will appreciate that in the morning muster. I'll add that in there and give Mark Cox credit. But at the end of the day, you know, what this ruling does is it simply halts further flights under the Alien Enemies Act, because basically the ruling, the 2-to-1 ruling, right, the George H.W. Bush judge and the Obama judge versus the Trump judge, saying that, look, those powers under deporting under the Alien Enemies Act, which, you know, denies due process, essentially, are limited to wartime and do not apply to transnational criminal organizations like Tren de Aragua and MS-13. But it doesn't stop any normal deportation, meaning if we did round people up and they were, deemed deportable under our current Title VIII law, then Bukele, President Bukele, is saying he's wide open to taking more. And that's what that conversation was about. So it's doubtful that the sending of dangerous, violent criminal aliens to that jail are going to stop. It just may not be under the Alien Enemies Act until there's a Supreme Court ruling. This is on the fast track to the Supreme Court. And President Trump, you know, was saying yesterday that he believes he's confident that he will win this case. We'll see. I mean, it is an 18th century law, but the case is being made that, you know, this gang that was not even existent, there's not a single record of a Trinidad Aragua gang member being arrested in the U.S. before 2022, that they have now taken over in 18 states and set up a criminal network and organization is not in the form of an enemy invasion.
I've been watching The Apprentice for the very first time because it just got posted, I guess, online maybe, or new seasons. And so it's funny to see so many people who are excited to see Trump and they're waving to him. And I heard someone say yesterday, you know, you make Chicago proud, Mr. Trump. And I just think about, you talk about the stark contrast between Kamala Harris and Kristi Noem, the stark contrast between that time period when he was so many people's hero, right? This business guy who was so successful. And now he's one of probably, I mean, very well liked by a number of people, about half the country, but hated by so many people.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, the contrast, and by the way, there's a clip going around on social media of The Apprentice when he has Mario Andretti in a race car drive him from his Trump Tower to the stage for the show. It's like classic stuff. It shows, it's why Trump is such a showman. Mm-hmm. But I do think the contrast that's really fascinating to me is that if this Signalgate thing would have happened under the Biden administration, do you think we would have had President Biden talking at every turn, willing to take questions, tackling it head on? The defense secretary would tackle it head on. The national security advisor would come out publicly and talk about it and take it, accept responsibility, and that others like the secretary of state and you know, the director of the CIA would talk about it. I mean, their approach of being more open and more willing to engage than the last administration, which was basically the plan every time was just crickets, deny, and hide, is really something. To, and this is just in the first, you know, less than 100 days that we're seeing this approach.
60 some days. It's hard to believe. It really is. Griff, we appreciate your time as always, my friend. Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Have a great weekend, and good luck on opening day.
Thank you. Appreciate that. I hope the Cardinals can show us something this year. Hey, we're tied for first right now. That's all that's important.
Might be the only time.
We're two games ahead of the Cubs.
We're two games ahead of the Cubs.
Oh, my gosh.
No matter how you slice it, at least today we are. We're going to be back after this. And nice opening day music selections by Carl Middleman this morning. Fantastic. You know, Kim, you were just telling me, you were going to tell me what happened in the latest episode of Severance.
I did.
You?
I wanted to update you in case anyone hasn't seen it. I wanted to spoil it for everyone.
I'm still on season one.
Carl's wife and daughter are in studio with us right now. Nicole and Maggie, welcome to the show. They're hiding back here off camera. We can't see them.
There's a microphone right there.
We don't have a camera on it. They're both nodding. They're both shaking their heads.
All right, you guys just stand there. I'll tell you what happened. So at the very end of season two.
Maggie's plugging her ears. So good to see you guys, though. Glad you're in this morning.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Well, good. Yeah, you've been up. You were up binging Severance this morning?
Yes.
So you have not slept.
Sleepless or what?
No.
What has college done to you, young lady?
You look great. I wouldn't know you've been up all night. So you're going to the pep rally at Ballpark Village?
Yes.
Nice.
All right. Well, at least some of us.
It's a holiday. You got
it. It is a holiday.
Yeah. Jinx.
We thought about going, but of course we aren't going to be able to get into some of the. I didn't go. I didn't buy tickets for opening day. Today's my wedding anniversary.
Happy anniversary!
Thank you, Michelle. And I've been married 32 years.
Congratulations.
Well, congratulations to me, Michelle. Actually, that you put up with me for that long, right?
Way to go, Michelle.
Yeah, thank you, Michelle. Thank you for doing that. And we're going to go out and have dinner somewhere tonight. So I never made plans to go to the game because that could have gotten me in some hot water. And she wouldn't have wanted to go to the game for her anniversary.
You can't say you're going to the game for your anniversary and then you also have to set aside time to watch the Kentucky game tomorrow.
No, that's tomorrow night.
And that's what I said. You don't get back-to-back days.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
You got to pick, right? Tomorrow's your big Kentucky day.
That's right. It is big. Big, huge. 6 o'clock tomorrow night. That's what I'll be doing. For sure. You know, I wanted to, one, before we get out of here, I wanted to play something that from that hearing yesterday from Congressman Comer. And, you know, they had the CEO of NPR and PBS in front of Congress yesterday. And the question was on, you know, bias and funding. Obviously, there are going to be some decisions made on funding there at some point. I wanted to play this bite from James Comer when he talked to these two women, the two CEOs yesterday.
But over time, and I still occasionally listen to NPR because I just want to hear what they have to say. And I don't even recognize the station anymore. It's not news. I feel like it's propaganda. I feel like there's disinformation every time I listen to NPR.
And, you know, I'm listening to that. Apologize for the audio there. Not our fault. But when I listened to some of what they presented yesterday, like the Media Research Council took a look at some of just the bias, for lack of a better way to describe it, that's happened with them, it is pretty amazing to see. I just want to play one of these for you as they went through this this hearing yesterday, because Brandon Gill is the congressman who was asking the leader of NPR about this specifically, and what he perceived to be bias. Go to cut 7, Carl, please.
You think that white people should pay reparations?
I have never said that, sir.
Yes, you did. You said it in January of 2020. You tweeted, "Yes, the North. Yes, all of us. Yes, America. Yes, our original collective sin and unpaid debt. Yes, reparations. Yes, on this day."
I don't believe that was a reference to fiscal reparations, sir.
What kind of reparations was it a reference to?
I think it was just a reference to the idea that we all owe much to the people who came before us.
That's a bizarre way to frame what you tweeted. Okay, how much reparations have you personally paid?
Sir, I don't believe that I've ever paid reparations.
Okay, just for everybody else.
I'm not asking anyone to pay
reparations.
Seems
to be what you're suggesting.
So it's funny because I don't know anything about her, this Catherine Mayer, who runs PBS. But when they went back and looked at a bunch of her tweets before she got appointed to that position, she ran Wikipedia, which Marjorie Taylor Greene pointed out is not a source of true information in many cases because it can be edited. Right.
I can go in and edit it right now.
You can go edit it right now.
Let's do it.
I think that was probably a very damaging bit of testimony yesterday in front of Congress. So we'll see where funding for those organizations goes moving forward. Hey, if you get to go out like the Middleman family and enjoy the festivities today, have a great time. I hope the rain stays away. Looks like a lot of it's going to stay to the north of here, the worst of it. And that's good news. Go Cards. Wish you the best. And we will see you back here tomorrow morning starting at 5 a.m. Have a great day.
Blues at 7.
Get more at 971talk.com.